Welcome to episode 4 of the Reclaiming Podcast. I'm Pete Tackett, co-author of the book Reclaiming, a handbook for developing a restorative culture in your church, along with my friend Michael Stover. And we're on this sometimes seemingly futile mission to get the church that we can affect to realize the great need of restoring broken leaders and really restoring relationships between broken leaders and the significant people in their lives. So today's podcast is a bit different, and from time to time we'll do this, but this is our first one of those. We're going to do what amounts to case studies. We're going to introduce you to some people that have walked in a journey of service and then brokenness, and then how God has used restorative ministry and encouragement to help them find places of service. So our guest today is very unusual in terms of our relationship. This is Pastor Richard Long, and welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be here with you.
Now, we have a little different relationship now than we did years ago, but tell a little bit about how you and I first got to know each other. It's kind of interesting because now you're on my staff, but way back when it was different.
Yes, it was. Back in the mid-90s, I got a call from the pulpit committee at Antioch Baptist Church here in town where you're now the pastor. And I interviewed that process, and I came here and was excited to be the lead pastor and to work with the staff that we had. And it was exciting days at Antioch. We were seeing a lot of people saved on a week-by-week basis. We had a large outreach team that went out every Tuesday, and it was exciting. There were bumps along the road sometimes when you're the new pastor, and sometimes changes take place. One major change that took place was that they had asked me to help lead them to move down into the gymnasium for worship, and so that team had already been working on that, and so we finalized that, and then by January we were moving downstairs in worship, and that caused unrest with people.
Sure.
Especially traditional folks who have been in a worship center. They called it a sanctuary back then. But in the course of a year, the church leadership became very unhappy and asked me to resign. And so I said, well, okay.
And I think it's tough to deal with that when you look back at it, both from the church's perspective and from your perspective. And because things weren't well at home and personally in that season in your life as well. So it was really a bad time kind of all around, wasn't it?
It was. And I never really got bitter at the church. I said, okay, Lord, you just show me what you're trying to do. And in the next couple of years, you know, I lived around Johnson City and maritally, the marriage was not in good shape, and ultimately I left, and then had a chance to, I'm back and forth, bouncing back and forth, should I try to reconcile? And I just, you know, Jesus said it's because of the hardness of heart, and that's what he said, that Moses said, because of the hardness of your hearts, he permitted divorce. Well, at that point, I didn't get a divorce, but I did have a chance to move to Fort Worth, Texas, and join a pastor I had gone to seminary with in a real dynamic growing church there in Fort Worth. I got on staff. I was an associate pastor, and I was bouncing up and down spiritually. I just felt like that I wasn't totally honest with myself and the church. Now, the pastor knew that I was separated from my wife, and so he was okay with that.
And I think before we get too deep into the podcast, we ought to also acknowledge that, and this will become sort of the turning point in your story, your relationship with the Lord wasn't what you thought it was.
No.
So when you look back at it, you can see some of this in a different context, can't you?
Yes. You know, when I remember that I first doubted. I went for dinner revival when I was 12 years old and went with a bunch of other young people and got baptized and got active and assimilated into the church. And then it was when I was about 14 or 15 that I sensed God's call on my life. But the question that just bombarded me almost all the time was doubt. Did I really have a born-again experience with God? When I was in Vietnam in 67, I wrote back to the church and said, can you give me any kind of data of the decisions I've made? And nobody was there to do it, and the pastor was gone. And that just continued. I stayed 6.5 years in the Marine Corps, and I stayed faithful to the church. I never quit going to church in all those years. But the one thing that was constantly battling me was, did I know for certain?
So you come to Johnson City, you pastor the church, it lasts a year. You move to Texas, go through a divorce, get remarried. Still serving in churches out there, but kind of at some point you went in the real estate business as well, I think.
Yes, I'd been on staff out there for over 6 years and just had a pastoral, a major pastoral issue it became an issue between me and other staff, and I resigned. And so I pursued ministry opportunities, but I did it as a volunteer.
Sure.
And I entered into real estate business. And even during those days, for the next 4 or 5 years, you know, I just really battled, why would a Christian man who is a pastor, why would he end up going through a divorce? And I just had uncertainties about all that. And I felt like that something was not right about my life. And finally, a friend of mine gave me a CD of a pastor who had gone to an evangelism conference to speak. He had been assigned a topic, but as he walked from the front pew up to the platform, he said, God changed my sermon. And he said, today I'm going to preach to lost preachers. And that perked my ears up. That was in November that I heard it of 2004. And I'm listening and I'm saying, God, is that what's wrong with me? Is that why I keep struggling? Because I lived in constant doubt. I mean, I'd turn over a new leaf. I'd do something different, you know. But down deep inside for many, many, many years, I didn't have any security of my salvation. And when I heard that preacher preach to lost preachers, God got my attention. And for the next, it wasn't till March 31st of 2005 that I really came convinced by the wooing of the Holy Spirit that I had never been born again. And I said, God, then let's settle that. You know, I was worried about what will people think, you know, worried about what my wife was going to say, what the kids are going to say. And I just made the decision. My relationship with God is the most important thing, and I got to get it dealt with. And so that day on March 31st, 2005, I just said, God, I just repent. I'm just an old sinner, and I need a Savior, and I want you to come in and take absolute control of my life that day. And that day he did, and that day he took away all the doubt, and I've never had doubt in my life since that day.
Richard, I often will say to young people, say, man, I was baptized when I was 5 or 6, but, you know, I'm really struggling. And so I'll walk with them through, and I'll say, you know, that was a great step toward God, but maybe you just weren't ready to surrender at that point, didn't know enough to surrender. And one of the throwaway lines that I use is, it's amazing what getting saved will do for your walk with God.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Because when you look back at it, you see what happened at Antioch in a different light. You see what happened in your marriage in a different light. But that's not why we're here today, but I think people need to hear that story. Because a couple of years later, I don't know when it was, I don't know if it was 06 or 07, you were in San Antonio at the same time I was,
right,
at the Southern Baptist Convention. And honestly, I heard your voice. You were following me on the Riverwalk. I don't know if you remember that. And I heard your voice. And to be quite honest with you, my first reaction to that wasn't pleasant, because things had not gone well toward the end. You and I had remained cordial. But clearly things didn't end well when I was on your staff and you were gone. And we turned around and talked, and you said, I need to talk with you. And I said, well, let's sit down. You said, no, I need time with you. And so we met for coffee the next morning. And Lori and I, my wife, talked about it, and she said, well, you know, maybe there's something from back then that he needs to settle with you. And we sat down over coffee that morning, and you basically told me that story. And I went home and told Lori back to our hotel room and said, you know, not only has he been saved, but he's a different man. You know, when you're saved, old things are passed away and all things become
Amen.
New.
Amen, that's right.
And I've said to people through the years since you and I have reconnected that you don't even look like the same man. There was a hardness. There was still that old Marine in you when you were pastoring at Antioch. But when God saved you, he put a smile in your eyes and it's in a softness to your countenance that wasn't there before. So I'm pastoring in Middle Tennessee and you're selling real estate in Texas. And we stayed in touch a little bit by phone. But you eventually moved back to Tennessee and remarried. And I, by that time, I was helping Antioch get back on their feet after a very difficult season. And one of the things that they had struggled with through the years was there were lots of staff members and pastors from their past that had not ended well. Not much as difficult as their ending with you, but I've always said that it's a slippery slope when you start down that path, and so it affects everything. So systematically, over several months, I had invited every living former pastor, worship leader, anybody that would participate to come back and just try to clear the air. And at that point, you gave me a call, and pick it up from there. You asked me to let you do something, so pick that story up from there.
Well, when I came back here in 2011, and the one question that I had as I was moving back from Fort Worth to Johnson City was, what will it be like when I meet anybody from Antioch Church? How will they receive me? I was at the mall one day, and one of our church families I saw, and I thought, well, how are they going to respond? And they saw me after all these years and came right to me, and it was a real sweet time. And then I think I had told you that I had written a letter back a number of years before my returning and asked the pastor to read it to the congregation that I wanted to confess my sinfulness, sorry that leadership hadn't worked out in my pastorate. And then I got a letter back saying, well, you know, it's been so many years, it's probably really not relevant. And so you had asked me then to come and share my testimony on Father's Day of 2011. And that day I came, and I just knew with inside of me there was a need, because I knew that it was, at that point, it was 20 years. And I thought, well, there'll be some people there that know me. So I just need to go ahead and I planned to share my testimony, but the first thing that I did was when I got in the pulpit is that I just confessed my sin. And I asked the church to forgive me for not being the pastor they thought I was going to be, and that I didn't fault them, but I wanted to be right with them, and that I wanted to confess that I had divorced my wife and I hadn't been a good example. And then all of a sudden you stood up and stopped and said, well, church, what are we going to do? We got a man here that's confessing his sin. How are we going to respond? And at that moment, people began to stand up around the congregation and then say to me, I'm sorry, Pastor, the way I treated you, please forgive me. And it was just one of those days of restoration. It's just absolutely wonderful.
That's probably in the top 10, I call them high and holy moments of my life.
Yeah.
To see people who had been angry with you soften toward you.
Yeah.
And I think there's a principle there that we need to understand, that humility and confession is the doorway to restoration.
Amen. That's right.
You know, that could have been the end of the story. That would have been a great story. It could have been the end of the story. But a week or so later, you and your wife ask you know, called us. I mean, we were having dinner together. I'm not sure what we're doing, but you said, well, you know, folks were so gracious to us. Would it be all right if we just attended church some?
Yeah.
And at that time, we were transitioning from an older, more traditional model to a newer model, and I needed some help, and just started having you do some preaching on Sunday nights and teaching, and before we knew it, you were just a part of the fabric of the church. And honestly, I don't even remember when we added you to the paid staff. You just sort of got back involved, and that's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. That, you know, you had asked if I could come, what I consider coming and doing ministry with you, and yet, you know, I knew that maybe there was still somebody who was still resistant to my leadership back in the early 90s. And so I just prayed about it, Diane and I did, for a couple of months, and I couldn't get resolution about it. And I finally just said, you know, Pastor, I'll come, and if you get the first person to resist, you let me know, and I'll just walk out, because I didn't come back here to hurt the church. And so that's what I did, and we stayed around for 3 months, and before long I said, can we join the church? And so it's been just the last 7 years have just been glorious. God has been so good, and sometimes somebody will just catch me in the hallway and say, can I see you, Richard? And they'll pull me to the side, and they said, you know, I didn't stand that day, but I've been carrying this around all these years. Would you forgive me for not being gracious to you? And that's happened to men and women, and it just amazes me all the time that, you know, God is in the healing business, and He's healed my heart, and He saved my soul in 05, and it's just been a glorious journey, Pastor. Thanks for letting me serve with you.
Well, Richard, I think about where the church is today versus where it was all those years ago, you know, we're in a place now where I do believe, Antioch, now we have our moments, but I do believe it is a place of grace and a place that wants to restore broken people.
Yes.
And put people back on the road to meaningful service and discipleship. And I do believe that 2011-2012 was an instrumental breakthrough in that journey. The truth of the matter is, if they can't forgive you, then really nobody can be forgiven. If they can't accept you, then we can't accept anybody, you know, because then after that it becomes qualitative analysis. Are you worthy of my forgiveness? Are you worthy of me? And so it was really cool to see them embrace that. Now, just tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days. You're not as young as you used to be, but none of us are. But God is using you in this season. So what are you doing on the team at Antioch these days?
Well, right now my responsibility is prayer ministry, and also looking after senior adults, and making sure that our church is abreast of the necessity and the urgency to pray with one another. And so that's really a special part of my life. I'm also helping you with discipling adult men and hopefully women, so that they can then become a discipler of three or four men or women in their different groups. And we've been doing this now all year, you and I, and it's just been one of the most exciting parts of my life. And I'm really excited that I can just pour into two or three men on a weekly basis and just see their life transformed as they begin to become self-feeders of the Word of God.
Sure. One of the things that I'm often asked when I speak on restoration and talk to others about it, one of the questions that I often get is this, can a person be restored in their former church? And I know it's difficult, but I also know this, I know that it's not impossible. You're not restored to the lead pastor position, but the relationships of the church have been restored, and the brokenness of the past has been rebuilt. But I always say to people, it takes a long time. You know, I don't know that could have happened 6 months after things blew up. I think all of us had to live a while first and experience that. And the truth is, had you not come to that moment in 2005, all of this would be a moot point to begin with. Richard, we're at the end of our conversation about your journey, but I believe that it's worth having this last little piece of the conversation, because after going through a second divorce, not of your own making, after you got saved, your wife that you had remarried just really wasn't interested in being your wife anymore, because right. God had so radically changed your life. And you came back to Johnson City and eventually married a beautiful, sweet woman that became so much a part of our life and church. I believe there may be those that would listen to the podcast that would want to hear this last part of the story and be encouraged by it. But has it been 2 years now?
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years ago, she worked one day and came home sick, and within 4 or 5 days had passed away from a very fast-moving infection. Just share a bit of your testimony about two things there. How has God borne you up in these last 2 years after losing your precious wife? And then how has God used that to minister to others?
Well, when Diana was in the intensive care in the hospital in Johnson City, every day my prayer was, Lord, whatever your will in heaven is, that's what I want it to be on earth with regard to me and Diana. And that she was hospitalized on a Monday, and then by the next Sunday, as I was sitting there beside her, God just really pointed me to write out how I felt about what was going on, and I really came to grips all that week that the sovereignty of God was at work in her life. She had no illness up to this point in her life. She was beautiful. She was vivacious. And God saw fit to take her. And in these days, every day, I've just said, Lord, I don't understand why, but I do know that you're sovereign. Yes. And that you don't make mistakes, and that you have a purpose for our life eternally. And so each day in the last almost 2 years, I've just said, you know, God, I don't know if you will ever let me have anybody else in my life, but I want to make sure that I always remember that love is precious, and that sharing it with someone must be unconditional. And it's just given me a lot of opportunity for those who are still, after a number of years, still in depressed, still uncertain without their partner. And, you know, I'm just grateful that God just came in, wrapped his arms around me. But then he came in, and he brought in Antioch around me and you. And to see that during that 7 days Diana was in the intensive care, how the church family ministered to me, and then after she passed, they've just continued to love on me. And I think that the key has been is that they didn't forget me.
Yes.
And so, you know, I know that God lets things happen to us so that he can minister through us in whatever situation it might be.
And our job is to use what comes into our life.
Amen. Amen.
You may have heard the story, but Chuck Kelly, the former president of New Orleans Seminary,
right.
Always says that if Jesus were walking around on earth today, he'd be teaching economics at East Tennessee State. That's usually the line he uses. And, of course, everybody's always confused by that. But then he goes on to say, because in the economy of God, nothing is ever wasted.
Right.
And so the brokenness of 1991 and the pain of divorce, and then ultimately the pain of losing your wife, God has somehow used all of that to allow you to become who you are today.
Amen.
Minister.
Amen.
And Pastor Richard, I think the church, not Antioch so much, but the church in general, makes a grave mistake when they look at someone who did some things that were wrong and made some bad decisions, and some who've just been through some stuff, and the church looks at them and goes, well, they don't have anything left to offer. There's a lot of giftedness sitting on the side of the road out there of people who the church won't embrace and use their gifts because they did this or they went through that. And so I want to thank you for being willing to put yourself out there and serve and use what God has done in your life to help reclaim other people.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm grateful that I get to serve with you, and most of all, serve the Lord Jesus.
Thank you.